Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. This is that travel time of year. Gas prices go up and down, but summer remains that season to hit the open road. For some people, that means traveling in style, with internet connections, movies, music, and maybe most importantly, somebody else at the wheel. A Daleville company, Overland Tours, is in that first-class motor coach business. Ron Halbert is a former minister who started with one bus years ago and turned it into Econoway Motor Coach and Overland Tours Company, doing everything from refurbishing school buses to transporting troops. Mr. Halbert says he even takes the wheel when it's time to lead one of their cross-country tours. In fact, I talked to him as he sat behind the wheel of one of his coaches. Travel is something he's always wanted to do.
I was raised right here. I didn't go very far in life. I was born and raised right here. And back in 47, 48, and 49, you know, we had one automobile. My dad worked at the local factory, BorgWarner, Warner Gear. And we didn't get to travel very much. So as a boy, I didn't get to see very much. And I always hoped that when I grew up and became a man that, you know, I could travel. Now, I've not been outside of the United States other than Puerto Rico and to Alaska, Canada. But I do travel a lot in the United States. We go to New York City every year. We have a New York City tour. We go to Branson every year. We do Nashville, Tennessee. We do Route 66. And I like to travel. And so this gives me a way to travel while I'm being paid.
When you're out there, do you sometimes go, boy, this is nice? I mean, you obviously have to keep your mind on the job and everything, but...
Well, certainly. I mean, all of these sites you're seeing are New England tour to New England, the fall foliage tour. Again, I prefer to travel west. I like to go to the west. I like to see the deserts and the big rocks and the Indians and the things that you will see out there as you travel west. But yes, it's all very enjoyable. Last week I was in Pennsylvania, as I said, and the mountains of Pennsylvania were beautiful. It's just you see some breathtaking things as you travel.
Is this the season for it?
Well, the recession for the last 3 years has desperately hurt the tourism business. As I said, people have lost their interest on their CDs and their 401ks and things like that. And trying to get enough people to go sometimes with it. We have competitors here. There's three or four of us doing the same thing in Delaware, Madison, Henry County, Jay County. And so we are competitors, and trying to group enough people to finance the trip sometimes is a problem right now. And so tourism is not as good as it was, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we'd go to Branson, Missouri four times a year. Now we go to Branson, Missouri once a year. And anyway, it's difficult sometimes to get enough people to go. You hate to disappoint people. You may have 15 sign up, and you need at least 20 to 25 to break even, and then hopefully you'll get more than that. But we do it because, again, we love to travel, and you bond with your people. Your people, once they travel with you three or four times, you get to know them, of course, by first name. And it's just kind of like a reunion every time, and you're out laughing and having fun. That's what we sell. We sell fun.
Where do your drivers come from?
We are always looking for people who would like to drive motor coaches who are people persons. In other words, we need someone who, we can take someone who's never driven a motor coach and train him to drive a motor coach. But we want somebody with personality. You only get one chance to make a good first impression. That's all you get. And so we need someone who can greet the chartering party and the people, be friendly, carry on a conversation, and then drive the motor coach safely and take them where they want to go.
Are these retired folks?
Most of our drivers are retired, but we can take a driver who would like to be a motor coach driver and train him safely. And most of the drivers are senior citizens, early retirees, 55, 60, 65, and they've retired from their job where they worked at for maybe 25 or 30 years. After a year or so, they get a little bored, and maybe the wife wants them out of the house a day or two. And so they think, hey, this is a good thing. I can travel. I can get away from the wife for a day or two. Occasionally, I can even take the wife with me. If it's a tour and the bus is not full, I might ask the boss, and he might even say, well, just go ahead and take the wife. So it works out good as supplemental income. They get to see the country. They may have worked in a factory 30 years all their life, like me when I was a boy and didn't get to see very much. Now they get to go out and travel.
Well, we're sitting on board one of your coaches now, and this is an enormous vehicle. What's it like driving one of these?
Well, this coach is 45 feet long, but again, once you learn to drive one of these, you are more comfortable driving this. I drive a Prius. I'm the president of the company. You think, well, you got maybe a Cadillac. No, I drive a Prius. I drive a small car, but I feel much more comfortable, no matter what kind of car I'm driving, driving this motor coach. I feel safe, I feel secure, and I would rather drive a motor coach than a car any day.
Lord, I was born a rambling man.
Ron Halbert of Daleville is founder and president of Econoway Motor Coach, Overland Tours, and Bus Mart Sales and Leasing, talking about bus tours this time of year and the people who drive the buses.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Indiana Weekend, John Strauss with you. Robert Abner is with Grace Village Campus Ministry at Ball State University. You folks have an interesting event coming up. As the Star Press put it, the zombie apocalypse is here and has its own parade permit. The Muncie Board of Public Works and Safety has approved a parade permit request for a zombie walk. This is an event by Grace Village ELCA Campus Ministry at Ball State. The group asked for temporary street closings for University Avenue and some nearby streets from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, August 25th. Robert, tell us about the zombie walk.
Well, this idea came about, I used to live in Louisville, Kentucky about 7 years ago, and there was one going on down there, and I'd heard of them going on in major cities for about the last 10 years now. As you know, the zombie craze has kind of slowly swept the nation over the past decade, and some friends of mine put on one down in Richmond, Indiana this past year, and, you know, it always seemed like a fun idea, but I didn't know that people were putting a charity piece along with it. And that's what my friends in Richmond did. And they raised, I believe, the single largest food donation that the food pantry down in Richmond had ever received. And so when I heard about that, I just figured, hey, as a campus ministry, we're always looking for fun charity events that we could do to help out the local community. And a zombie walk just, pun intended, seemed like a no-brainer.
Oh, no. Well, help us understand, what happens in a zombie walk?
Well, it's really just like it sounds. You get a bunch of people together dressed like zombies, which, who doesn't love to dress like a zombie? You get folks together dressed like zombies and have them bring some canned food goods for donations, and then you get everybody to just walk the streets as a massive zombie horde, something like you would see in the Walking Dead TV show or Night of the Living Dead the movie, just something that would just be a massive wave of zombies. And so you could see what it may look like if zombies were moving through your town.
I did not realize it until I got to Ball State how fascinated people are. There's a game called Humans versus Zombies that's played every fall.
Yeah, I've seen that on college campuses all across the country as well. It's just, you know, I've been a fan of zombie movies for years, probably since I was a kid, and now to just see the way it's taken off, it's a little out of hand sometimes, but it's still fun nonetheless.
Sure. And so on Saturday, August 25th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. around University Avenue, innocent bystanders will see what? People staggering down the street?
Yeah, absolutely. We're putting some plans together now as to try and maybe get some shopping carts that some of the zombies can push. You can have some zombie shoppers that maybe those who are just watching the event instead of taking part in it can also bring some canned food items that they could donate. But you're going to see folks. We're really hoping for some great creativity. If you Google image search and do a zombie walk or something like that, you'll see a wide variety of people in creative zombie costumes. Of everything from your favorite fast food restaurant has their employees come out dressed as zombies, or people coming as zombie nurses, or people coming out as anti-zombie police officers, and just a wide variety of people trying to look like specific zombies of certain genres.
And what do you hope that Grace Village will get out of this?
Apart from it being a charitable piece, we do not want to receive a dime from this as the campus ministry, but we'd like to just show that, hey, you know what, we're a campus ministry, but we still know how to have a good time. We're not your parents' church organization, we'll put it that way. But, you know, we like to show that as a church organization, we can be hip and relevant, and we know how to have fun as well.
Do we have any sense whether participation in campus ministry programs is going up, going down, staying the same? Are there any trends?
You know, when we look at myself being Lutheran and our organization being Lutheran and Episcopalian, you know, some of the attendance in the mainline Protestant denomination campus ministries, it seems like nationwide, is a little bit on the decline. And I think some other groups that are maybe non-denominational and the Catholic groups are definitely keeping some of their numbers pretty steady. But in mainline Protestant denominations, we're seeing that funding is going down because of just giving to churches, period, has been going down. And so attendance is in decline in churches, and it's in decline at campus ministries as well.
You have to be really creative to keep people's interest, I would imagine. What other kinds of things? You've got a zombie walk. Are there other creative ways that you engage the students?
Yeah, for the past 2 years, one of my students has been very passionate about putting on a stand-up comedy event on campus, and it's just kind of been I think he's called it Ball State's Next Top Comic, and to Save Darfur. And so all the proceeds that we raised for that went to SaveDarfur.org, and so we've arranged lots of sponsors to get door prizes for those in attendance and prizes for those who won the comedy event, and there were judges, and we usually get 12 to 15 comics for the past 2 years to show up to do that event, and we've had 1 to 200 people attend to view that event.
Are there benefits that young people get from participating in ministry programs? I mean, benefits of religion, but I mean, do you see people get more involved in their communities because of this, caring more about their fellow people? Is there anything like that that happens?
That's certainly what our hope is. Our hope is that, you know, it's a great idea to come to church and spend time in that sort of fellowship, but our goal as the church is to send people out into the world to help each other, not to go out and preach at people, but to go out and just be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, to send them out to help feed the hungry and help shelter the homeless and clothe the naked and just go out and love their neighbors. And so that's really what our sense of mission and call is, at least at our campus ministry, and I know that's true for a lot of them.
Robert Abner is with Grace Village Campus Ministry at Ball State University, and we're talking with him because our attention was caught by this opening line in a Star Press story. The zombie apocalypse is here, and it has its own parade permit. They have an event going on at 4 o'clock on Saturday, August 25th, a zombie walk. Robert, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
In our first segment, you met Ron Halbert, the Daleville tour bus owner who started with just one bus years ago while in the ministry and built three companies refurbishing school buses, handling charter bus operations, and conducting tours to places like the old Route 66 out west, New York, and Washington, D.C. My idea of bus travel was riding on school buses and those old crowded interstate coaches of years ago. Today, the seats are plush, movies are playing, there's Wi-Fi, and power for laptops. I asked Mr. Halbert if it was fun driving the bus.
Is it fun being the driver on the tour? I would rather drive one of these in my personal automobile any day. It's much safer. You've got 48,000 pounds of weight behind you. Cars can do very little to damage you. Semi-tractors, we stay away from them because they weigh up to 80,000 pounds. But yes, it is fun. You are the captain of the ship. A motor coach driver assumes an enormous amount of responsibility and liability because you do have 56 to 58 people's lives in your hand. And so you've got to be a professional. You've got to be safety conscious. We have very strict safety rules with our company that we do our very best to keep our drivers out of trouble. We have a following distance safety rule and other safety rules that we've trained our drivers that they must follow, because you are assuming enormous responsibility and for, unfortunately, fairly low pay compared to the same thing if you're an airplane pilot.
You have to like people to do this.
Well, you have to be a people person. I like to entertain, not while I'm driving, but before we go, you know, tell a funny little story or something. I sing a little karaoke sometimes. I'll sing a little song for them.
What do you think about during all these hours on the road? Because on some of the Overland tours, you're out there for a while. What do you think?
Well, let me just give you an example. Last Sunday, this past Sunday, I drove to Pennsylvania, to Breezewood, Pennsylvania. We had a bus in Washington, D.C. for 5 days. And he was working on Sunday until 9 o'clock at night when he left Washington, D.C. and came to Breezewood, which is 2 hours. That means that they had to have a fresh horse or a fresh driver, not a fresh bus, but a fresh driver had to be on that bus at midnight and drive these people all the way to Dunkirk, Indiana. So I drove the car to Washington, Pennsylvania, got there Sunday morning, went to bed at a motel, slept till about 9 o'clock at night, got up, and at 12 o'clock at night, I got on the motor coach, took that driver off, I got in his place, and I drove all night and brought those people back to Dunkirk, Indiana. What do you think about while you're driving? Well, you try to keep your mind on your driving. You try to look at traffic. You try to keep your following distance. We have a 5, 10, and 15-second following distance. That means anything that you can see over, such as a car or a pickup truck, you stay 5 seconds behind him. Anything that you can't see over, like a semi-tractor trailer, you stay 10 seconds behind. Anything that's hauling people, another motor coach, a school bus, you stay 15 seconds behind. Now, at 60 miles an hour, that's a quarter of a mile. We are not always able to keep that, but that's the rule. And so that's what we try to adhere to, because you read too many times where a convoy of motor coaches or a convoy of school buses, I just read one where 6 school buses in Atlanta, Georgia came together, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they all hit each other because they were driving unprofessionally too close. One person took his eyes off the road, another bus hit him, and et cetera. And unfortunately, I see this on the highways often. I hate to say it, but a lot of truckers are driving much, much too close together on the highways.
What else do you see on the highways? What do you think about the idea of distracted driving, people on cell phones?
Well, the new rule is you cannot use a cell phone on a commercial vehicle as of about maybe 6 weeks ago. So you cannot use a cell phone unless you have a Bluetooth or something like that, but you cannot use a handheld phone. Cell phones can be distracting. I think everybody would agree to that, whether you drive a car or a commercial vehicle. Cell phones can be distracting, and so you got to be certainly very careful talking on a cell phone. But you cannot do it legally, and there's a heavy fine for anyone talking on a cell phone driving a motor coach if he does not have a Bluetooth hands-free type setup.
Ron Halbert of Daleville, a former minister who noticed that people kept asking to use the church bus for charter trips. The church couldn't rent out its bus, so Mr. Halbert bought a bus himself, and that turned into 3 companies he runs today, including his Overland Tour company.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend, this is John Strauss. Hi, what's your name?
Dylan Paul.
What's going on, Dylan?
I just got back from a 6-week trip over to China.
To China? What were you doing there?
I was there to study the culture. I managed to go over there with a program from Ball State for marketing and branding.
To learn about marketing and branding?
Yes.
And see how that's different in China than here?
Yeah, we were studying the differences, how China marketed, like, let's say, McDonald's to the public versus how the United States markets McDonald's.
Any big events? I mean, anything go on?
One night we were in Daeyoung. We were only there for a couple days, and it was just a short visit. Daeyoung's actually the sister city of Muncie. We went there, and after we got there, we found out that there was a student gala that was going on. We were told that we had to set up like four or five different performances to perform for students. And typically we'd been...
You had to perform.
Yeah.
I've heard of singing for your supper. You had to... what did you sing or dance or what did you do?
There was a mixture. There was supposed to be some singing from the Ball State students, but we turned it into like a demonstrational thing. Like, we taught them how to do the Ball State chirp.
Did you show them any of our rap music or anything, or any of our American dances or anything like that?
At the end, we decided that we were going to teach them how to do the Cupid Shuffle. And we showed them how to do it once, and then we went out into the crowd and pulled a bunch of students up on the stage and got about 20 to 25 students up there to learn how to do it.
Exporting American culture in China, and it was the Cupid Shuffle.
It was definitely something unique.
Part of the excitement of traveling is sampling different kinds of food. Did you have some interesting Chinese cuisine while you were there?
While we were over there, we actually did get treated very well. They rolled out the red carpet, so to speak. We had a lot of gourmet meals, and at one of these meals, they served us jellyfish. And I've never seen jellyfish served before, so I wasn't know
what. Eat that with a fork or a spoon?
Chopsticks.
Okay.
Everything's
cut up. How do you fix jellyfish?
I think it was boiled. I'm not sure.
Did it look like the jellyfish you find on the beach?
It did. It did. It looked like the jellyfish when you're walking down the beach and you about step on it.
Wow.
It looked just like that.
Somehow when that happens to me, I don't get hungry.
Yeah.
How was it?
Neither. Crunchy.
Oh, crunchy. Okay.
It was not what I was expecting. I was expecting something like Jell-O, but it had a crunch to it.
It had a crunch. Would you go back?
Oh, definitely. I am actually looking to go back within the next couple years, go over there and teach English and explore more of the culture.
Very cool, Dylan. Thanks for talking with us. Dylan, one of a group of Ball State students who went on a cultural trip to China and just got back. Welcome back.
All right, thank you.
Here we go. We gonna show you how it goes.
That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. Reminder that we also need your stories, ideas for places we should go and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.